Greetings, St. John's.
It is so good to be with you this Christmas Eve and to be together in community as we celebrate the birth of our brother Jesus. I begin with a minor confession. This year, I find myself moved, even to the point of tears, by the simplest signs of Christmas, even the kitschy ones. Festive storefront decorations, the Oak Bay High School students, including my son Mo, singing Christmas carols as part of their stellar performance of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Even holiday tunes in shopping malls, the whole shebang. As a theologian and priest, I am customarily inclined to dismiss Christmas sentimentality and fluff. And the way all that fluff gets wrapped up in the capitalist impulse to shop till you drop, creating a frenzy of consumption and stress. Given all the hype, I have been curious about my own emotionality. Why does even Mariah Carey manage to get me a little weepy this year? No, I was visited by three ghosts last night. My best guess is that when darkness enshrouds us and becomes thick as night, any light, however faint, shines all the brighter. Any bit of cheer, tenderness, and joy brings consolation in this particular December's ink black night. Can any of us doubt that we live now in a darkening age? A bullying and violent president-elect gets his jollies by threatening Greenland, Panama, and Canada, calling it America's 51st state. An unelected plutocratic billionaire nearly succeeds in stripping funding for children's cancer research from a congressional spending bill. Meanwhile, Palestinian Christian priest and theologian Munther Isaac reminds North America, we sing, O little town of Bethlehem, our tax dollars support the project of driving Christians out of that little town. Genocide is broadcast live, and we lack the collective will to stop it. Tonight, the streets of Bethlehem are neither still, nor do they rest in a deep and dreamless sleep. Cruelty, indifference, a global turn to authoritarianism, and the ongoing acceleration of out-of-control climate change. All this weighs heavily on our hearts. The darkness gathers, and it threatens to settle into us, bone and marrow deep. This Christmas, we come to church with hearts overwhelmed by the gathering gloom. We know we are in danger of disengaging from a world that routinely disappoints. We are tempted to hang a sign on our heart's door saying, closed for business. Now, just about now, some of you are beginning to regret that you made this late night trek, looking for a bit of festive Christmas cheer. But I doubt you came out in the dead of night to hear trite holiday falsehoods from the sort of bumbling, well-meaning priest one finds in the seasonal Christmas rom-coms. You know, the sort that says, marriage. Have we really listened to the Christmas story? Our sacred tale is not a bit of festive frivolity. In Luke's gospel, the Holy Family finds themselves homeless in Bethlehem. Why? The family is compelled to travel by Quirinius, governor of Syria, when Mary is full term. because he has demanded that all be registered. Such registrations would have been precursors to taxation. Even when governed by our own elected representatives, some chafe at paying taxes. But it is quite another thing when those who want to tax you are your colonizers. Jesus' parents, like so many migrant parents today, cannot shield their baby from the exploitative whims of oppressive rulers. The Christmas story is a political story. The one prophesied to be born in Bethlehem is brought there by the coercive violence of empire, and the now homeless family is compelled to lay their child in a manger. So it comes to pass that one through whom all things came into being, the one without whom not one thing was made, that very one sleeps this evening among the animals. And what of Matthew's version of the story? Almost immediately after Jesus' birth, Joseph is warned in a dream that Herod means to go on a murderous rampage to kill this child. An all too believable story, given that Herod killed his own sons to prevent them from claiming the throne. So the Holy Family becomes a refugee family that takes flight to Egypt until Herod passes away. My friends, the Christmas stories teach us that Jesus did not come to a safer, cleaner, prettier, or less violent world than our own. The stories we tell on this night are not stories of sunlight without shadow, light without darkness. So what then is the point of our Christmas stories? Why do we gather this night and call it a night not of gloom, but of gladness? Not of imperial injustice, but of cosmic joy? We find the answer in our gospel reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. On Christmas, we confess that the God who made the world has entered that world to dwell within his creation. We sing a glorious song that the Creator loves this broken, hard-hearted world. God did not enter the world after first cleaning it up and rendering it safe. The world he came to, the world that killed him, that very world is the world that God still loves. God does not love the world only in its once created perfection, but as is. That is the good news of Christmas. God does not close God's heart to a world that constantly disappoints. And that is because God is the universe's eternally open heart. And that open heart was pleased to dwell in this world. The modern saint Dorothy Day, who would have hated being called a saint, put it perfectly. I'm so glad that Jesus was born in a stable, because my soul is so much like a stable. It's poor and in unsatisfactory condition. Yet I believe that if Jesus can be born in a stable, maybe he can also be born in me. That is the glad news of Christmas. But now for the hard news of Christmas. When God enters the world to be born in it, God also calls us to love that same world. Why? Why must we love this bruising world? Why must we keep our vulnerable hearts open? Why must we constantly risk disappointment and even injury? Why keep loving when loving is so hard? The answer is straightforward. Our hearts are either open or they are dead. This is an ironclad and universal law that admits of no exceptions. The good news of Christmas is that we are loved. The demanding news of Christmas is that we too must love. On Christmas, the Christ child shows us the heart of God and the shape of our own hearts. Our hearts were also tenderly crafted by the Word made flesh. So our hearts operate by this same infallible logic. Yes, the risks of love are very great. Even a cross might await those who love fiercely, courageously, and defiantly. But if you don't love, you are already dead. Without love, we number among the living dead, zombies who do nothing but consume, ravage, and destroy. So the message of the one who comes and dwells in the stable is this: don't give up on the world. Don't give up on each other. Don't give up on yourselves. At the heart of the universe, there is an urgent and infinite love that is prepared even to bear the cross, to sing out in love for us. This world will always be marred by brokenness. Love it anyway. God does. Your friends, partners, and even children are far from perfect. Sorry, Mo. Love them anyway. God does. Your enemies will always make it impossible to love them. Love them anyway. God does. Love especially those human beings who have begun to believe that they are unlovable because they have been victimized by abuse, violence, and disfiguring poverty. Love them as fiercely as God loves them. Love the violated earth in which Christ took flesh. Preserve what can be preserved. Heal what can be healed. And you will always remain far from the dream you have for yourself. Love yourself anyway. Why? Because the Creator of the universe, the infinite love that made you, loves you and counts you as possessed of infinite worth. You are God's very beloved. Each and every single one of you, precious and loved beyond measure. One final word. The God who came into the world and entered the stable, that God also wants to enter our hearts. We no longer have to love one another unaided. We do not have to love each other or ourselves or our enemy entirely on our own steam. The love at the heart of the universe wants to love in you and through you. This is not a domesticated, housebroken kind of love, but a wild love that longs to set the world aright. This love wants to be born in you tonight. This Christmas, gratefully accept any love, any tenderness, any light that gladdens your heart. In this season of darkness, we need all the light we can get. We cannot afford to play the Scrooge. But let us also pray long and hard for a deeper, heartier, fiercer love, the kind that is willing to be born in the noise and stench and the muck of a stable. Remember, the Lord of heaven and earth has come to dwell with you and embrace you. You are beloved of God. You have been loved by an infinite love that cherishes you. Now, let us go and do likewise. This is the work of Christmas. Embrace that work of love, no matter the cost. Only in this way can we find life and new life. In the name of the Christ child, I pray. Amen.